Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures CDP Subgroup B call held on Tuesday, the 5th of February, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge at this time, could you please let yourself be known now? And Jeff, I have you noted. No one else? And I just want to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to you, Ruben. You can begin.
Thank you. Good time of day, everyone. For today, we have selected the topic of closed generics, so we are looking at item 273, closed generic, which is closed generics, which is also the name of the tab in our Google Doc, which has the link on our on the Adobe room. So if people could go to there while we go to other administrative proceedings in the meeting, it would be interesting. Google Doc is already open when we start. First of all, as everyone notes at every call, we have for the agenda today the administrative part, discussion on 273 code generics, string similarity if time permits, and any other business. Does anyone have any change to the agenda that they wish to suggest? Well, at this point, doesn't anyone seem suggesting any new item to the agenda, but when time comes to AOB, please feel free to add those there. Does anyone have any statement of interest that needs to be updated or was updated already? Even the Adobe chat or only in audio if someone not seems none. So then we can go directly to item 3 in our agenda, which is discussing closed generics. So much fun ahead of us today. We'll start at line 4, when even though it's interesting that different from other sections when we had lots of green and even agreements, some of them didn't have any qualifiers. In this section, even the agreements come with something that commenter wishes to point out. In the case of Marcus, although they agree, they suggest that when a closed generic is allowed, considering that the application is not anti-competitive and even so the application is in the public interest, then the applicant should be required to submit a public interest commitment, which would be part of specification 11 and the contract as they currently are, that the closed NRCLD will not be used in an anti-competitive manner. So there is an agreement with a qualifier. We have a comment from Mike Rodenbaugh, which was actually submitted to the work group during discussions of the report. And although agreeing, it contains the decision of how it was made in 2012, that they made a decision that was against what was in GNSO policy and the guidebook allowing those closures generics. And I would add that the board didn't actually allow them. They actually punted them down to us, GNSO and PDP working group. So it's up to us to decide the fate of those applications, which is different from almost any other item in our charter. Our charter is 99.9% about subsequent procedures, new process, whether they are rounds, continuous application process, but there are two items. One is named collisions in second level, and the other is closure generic. So this one is really up to us. And Mike Rodemo's comment was in line 5. So going to line 6, there is a concern stated by the action board, and neat part of it is that because of difficulty in defining public interest and public interest goals, they re-emphasize that it remains critical for subsequent procedures, group us, to further flesh out this concept in our proposed options for addressing closure generics. So yet again, they are pointing them to us and saying, good luck deciding what to do with this problem. The registrar stakeholder group, which is in our next line, mentioned that most of the membership did not support code generics. Some noted that it should only be allowed that there is tangible benefits to end users. So a bit of divide among their membership providing which criteria would make it to be allowed, and others saying what should make it not be allowed. Next, line 8, we have a comment by Christopher Wilkinson, which is an ALAC member, although not commenting on behalf of ALAC in this, at this time. He submitted during discussions of the initial report. To me, his divergence mostly opposing closer generics. And although he commented that the board decision in the last round was enough, actually the board decision was not to make a decision. So, and just to correct myself, Christopher Wilkinson is an at-large member, not an ALAC member. ALAC is the at-large leadership, so sorry for that. We also have in the next line, at line 9, another of Christopher's comments the closer TLD would be okay if the applicant already holds a global right to the name, which is, would imply some form of trademark or some right, user's right, that is actually the opposite of closure generic, so this is being categorized as a divergence. We also had a comment from Van Dis Cartesini in the next line, also reproduction of the discussion we had during those conversations, that also diverging from the idea of having closer generics. So these were all overall overarching comments from closer generics, not directly related to questions in the initial report. Is there any comments? Seems none. So let's go to 273C1, which is the subject of closure generics has proved to be one of the most controversial issues tackled by Work Track 2, with strong arguments made by both those in favor of allowing closure generics in subsequent rounds and those opposing exposure of generics and in favor of keeping the current ban. Because this PDP was chaired not only by the GNSO Council to analyze the impact of closure of generic consider future policy, a number of options emerged as potential path forward with respect to closure of generics, though the work track was not able to set on any one of them. These options are presented in the below. The work track notes that there may be additional options that are not included in this list and welcomes suggested alternatives. First, was in support for allowing closure of generics in future rounds where BRG, the registry stakeholder group, Google, all basically agreed with allowing closure generics. Not that the others disagreed, but those agreed without any major qualification. While IPC, GAC, and NewStar had some agreements, but some qualifications or new ideas we will look into. The idea from IPC at line 15 is that the ITCB is there is room to explore the aspect of closure as well for these discussions. Of the paths forward being explored, the ITCB believes that closure must be appropriate where one, substantial public interest is served, and two, unintended security and stability issues are not introduced, which effect may identify. The IPC would support an option as in two or three. The GAC made a qualification that they reaffirmed the previous advice that for strings representing generic terms, exclusive registry access should serve a public interest goal. And NewStar contributed their agreement, but added an idea that any new policy providing a mechanism for closed generics should be available to existing registry operators as well as future applicants, which might or might not be in our charter. We will need to look into in better detail to verify that our allowance to look into the 2012 round would allow us to go that far, might be or might not. I won't take a quick guess now. It's better to analyze it further. But for that same suggestion, the ALAC expressed a divergence that ALAC believes that ICANN should prohibit the use of closed generics if it's not coupled with a public interest application, because closed generic shared users allow an applicant to have a potentially unfair influence over registration priority in a generic term, such as app, although there will be no such application next round because app is already delegated. They mentioned that closed generics can exist, but they may introduce unintended security and stability issues which the SAC should weigh in on. And although it's the second comment that would welcome SAC contribution, I don't believe that anyone was made in that regard. So if those groups feel that it's really important to get SAC weighing on this, you should probably reach out to SAC to see if they can comment something that they could send to the working group. Any comments regarding that section? Seeing none, let's go to 273D1, which has the option of not having any closure generics at all. So recommendation was to formalize the NSO policy, making it consistent with the existing Bayesian Register Agreement that closed genetics should not be allowed. We had support from that from XYZ, the XYZ Registry that has some TLDs including but not limited to .xyz. We had opposition from the brand registry group and from INTA, Newstar, Registry Stakeholder Group, and IPC, but let's look at each specific reason. Brand registry group simply said they opposed, while INTA, the International Trademark Association, that they oppose formalizing a no-closure generic NSO policy because the definition of a closure generic as defined in Specification 11, Clause 3B of the Register Agreement. There is potential for adverse effects on brands, consumer protection, and choice. Next, we had the agreement from Newstar that they do not support prohibition on closed generics, and they say that the position of supporting closed generics will allow would encourage competition and innovation. The Registry Stakeholder Group, as Newstar already mentioned, disagrees, and in summary they said that Registry Stakeholder Group strongly disagrees with the rule against closed generics in future application windows. IPC also diverges, although they expressed that IPC believes that there is room to explore for closed generics, therefore does not support an absolute ban of closed generics. Next. Then IPC, there is a long, long comment from just a second. Maybe you need to look at a different file to get that, but basically it's also a thing of no support for closed generics as well. Any, let's see if anyone has any hands. Jeff, please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I thought, thanks, this is Jeff Newman. I thought maybe we'll just, and maybe Jim raised his hand for the same reason. There's a discussion going on the chat about the ALAC comment in C, was it C1 or, yeah, C1, line 18. And there's a question from people as to whether we should get the ESSAC, is this an action item for the ESSAC? So Jim brought that up, and maybe that's why he's got his hand raised. But we should probably talk about whether we should have an action item. I'm not sure, just as a personal opinion, not as chair, but just personal, I'm not sure that just because the ALAC has asked for ESSAC or the ALAC has somehow equated this to dotless domains. I'm not sure. I don't understand the connection, but the ALAC seems to be asking for ESSAC input. The ESSAC obviously could have provided input, but didn't in this case. So the question is whether we should get, as an action item, an opinion from the ESSAC. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Just to be clear, what I mentioned while I was reading that, I was suggesting ALAC and IPC to reach out to ESSEC if they want ESSEC to come and not for the work group. I don't see as an issue to the working group at this point. Both ESSEC and ALAC, ALAC and IPC mentioned it, but ESSEC didn't comment anything, so I don't see why we should reach out to ESSEC. They were expecting ESSEC to comment. It didn't, so that was what I suggested. Please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem reaching out and just sending a note saying that two groups have wondered or asked whether there were any security, but I wouldn't put it as a stopgap to say that we must get it before we can move on with this issue. But there's no harm in sending a note over to we can take on as an action item, see if they want, if they do have any comments on it, and they may choose not. Again, not the comments. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I think Jim said that that clarified for them. Any other comments? If not, we'll go to 273D1. No, actually, 73D1 is exactly what we are looking into. So, let's go back to them. So, Christine has her hand up. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Christine Doreen for the transcript. I just had to step away for just a second. I came in at the tail end of that, and I saw that we were talking about the registry stakeholder group as comment about the ESSEC. As one of the drafters of the RYSG comment, I just wanted to highlight that I don't think the RYSG was calling for an ESSEC review as much as any code of conduct changes that would be made should generally observe any security and stability recommendations of the ESSEC that might exist. So I don't think we were calling for anything there as much as we were just observing that, of course, any thing we would do would want to comply with any ESSEC comments. Thanks. And it looks like I maybe was talking about the wrong line. Sorry about that. Thanks.
Thanks, Christian. Just but that's in recording. It was mentioned by ALAC and IPC. The registry stakeholder group was mentioned as supporting closed generics. So our next suggestion is on line 27. It's 273D2, closed generics with public interest application. As stated above in the initial report, GAC advice to the ICANN board was not that all closed generics should be banned, but rather that they should be allowed if they serve a public interest goal. There is this option to allow closed generics, but requires that applicant demonstrate that the closed generic serves a public interest goal in the application. This would require the applicant to review details about the goals of the registry. Under this option, work would discuss the potential of an objections process similar to that of communicated objections, challenging whether an application serves a public interest goal. The work track recognized how difficult it would be to define the criteria against which such an application would be evaluated. And for that option, we have support from ALAC, although on a provisional status, that they support closed generics with associated public interest specifications. IPC also supported a path forward where closed generics support a public interest. The International Trademark Association also agreed, but in agreeing they had a new idea. They suggest that a possibly a more workable solution might be to have a challenge objection process whereby a party who thinks that particular closure is against the public interest could object. We're applying for a TOD thing which might be considered a closed generic, and where the applicant envisages a risk of challenge, the applicant will have the option but not the obligation of trying to head this off in advance by giving assurances in the application which could be incorporated as contractual commitments. It would also be possible to allow an applicant to offer such contractual commitment in response to an objection which the panel could take into consideration. And just a comment from me, although this is mentioned here as a new idea, this is basically the idea of cogenetics with a public interest application, just in different terms. And after that, we had a comment from the registry stakeholder group not supporting this option, which was line 31. And they also offer one hybrid option that could work for some registry operators applying to use a TLD for beta testing for a period of time instead of trying to work with multiple limited registration periods before the registry operator opens the TLD up to an open or open restricted TLD. So actually have different moments in the lifetime of the TLD where it could be initially closed and then move it to a more open or selected or verified or community TLD with registration restrictions. And next, line 22, we have also divergence from Newstar, mentioning that such disclosure would also disclose business plan, possibly proprietary information, and that would be assessed in public against some nebulous criteria of public interest. Next, BRG also did not agree with that option, but with no qualifiers. Is that any comment on 273D2? Not seeing any at this time, but if anyone has some afterwards, we can go back here. On 273D3, we have another option, which is a closed generic with a code of conduct. That option would allow closed generics, but require the applicants to commit a code of conduct that addresses the concerns expressed by those not in favor of closed generics or of that specific closed generic. This would not necessarily require the applicant to review details about the goals of the registry, but it would commit the applicants to comply with the code of conduct, which could include annual self-audit. Would also establish an objections process for closed generics that's modeling on community objection. We had support for this option from Newstar, Mark Monitor, IPC, and ALEC. And then we have a very large comment on this from the participant of the Asia Pacific Internet Governance Academy. And most of what they suggest that if the application concerns the matter of public safety, public security, intellectual property protection, it should be considered, so restricting the scope of closed generics. And they by the idea of a standing committee for conduct conduct. That standing committee should consist of entities who have experience of domain registration process as well. So a suggestion could be to include members from regional, country-wise domain registries in the standing committee. The implementation of code of conduct should not be affected with, by the decisions from any of the said representatives above. The duties of such standing committee would be review the terms from time to time, so the perception for being or not a co-general might shift over time with changes in culture and social norms, so it's necessary to constantly review the updated terms in code of conduct in a responsive manner. They would adopt public opinion whether in reviewing the terms, reasonable length of time should be allocated for public comments. A planning charge list should be published for the general public so that they can vote down, vote up each DTLD through a voting mechanism. This would provide a quick overview. And establish a report mechanism in case of any violation of the CONDOCON. The report mechanism could serve as a channel for public report registry misbehaviors. All cases should be investigated in a timely manner and investigation outcomes should be released to the public. So that's what they had in line 39, I believe. Yes. The registry had agreed but provided cautions, and they although they support for the generics, they mentioned that commerce cannot imagine the unimagined, and that code of conduct should ensure that the operator of the generic space observes the security established recommendations of the ASEC. We also have divergence from INTA, which believes that this process is overly bundlesome. INTA believes that the proposed process could be overly bundlesome on a register operator, and to single out closer generic operators with a different code of conduct that than other operators, that could be problematic and unworkable. And that's what we have from 27D3. And we have a hand from Jeff. Please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I'm looking at the INTA comment, and I know we classify it as divergence. They do diverge in the sense they don't like a code of conduct, but they do support the notion of closed generics. I think it's more of a new idea to put it in the form of PICs as opposed to a code of conduct. So I'm not sure I would classify it as divergent. I mean, yes, they do say they don't want a code of conduct, but I just want to make it, you know, since this option seems to have the most agreement with it, I just don't want to make it sound like there's someone that completely opposes this option, because I'm not sure it's in that category. That makes any sense.
Thanks, Jeff. Although, for now, I believe the previous option had more green than not green than this one, but both the previous option and this option looks like that's forward that could move ahead because they seem to at least being the least hate options instead of the other ones that usually carry good number of divergence from very distinct parts of the community. Not seeing any on their hands, and seeing that we already changed that to concerns. Let's go to 273D4, which is the option of to allow closed generics. That this option would allow closed generics with no additional conditions, but establish an objections process for closure that handles modeled community objections. The IPC agreed. They mentioned that they support closure dynamics where there is a path forward, although they don't seem very much prone to which of the paths forward it took. But instead of having one, business constituency agreed to this option. The International Trademark Association also agreed this option because unless a clear definition of closure generics development, they consider this option to be the most workable. And the United States Postal Service also agreed. Let me go. The United States Postal Service also agreed that if closure generics are allowed, should the objection mechanism relates to public interest. So they support the idea of having an objection process, but not having that many changes after all if that objection process is passed. And at line 47, we have divergence from NewSTAR. NewSTAR does not support the introduction of additional objection process. And while they don't comment why after what people suffered in legal and the objections that were handled by ICC, I can relate to that. The registry stakeholder group said they do not support this option. They support the idea of a code of conduct, which was the other option. So basically they don't support the option of only having an objection process or either having one objection process. And they lack also opposed this option, but for a different reason. They said they would certainly not in favor of an open season on closure generics for the reasons outlined in the response to the other option. So in this case, they seem more concerned with having closure generics, but with an objection process, than with the objection process itself. So they don't seem to agree that having that path would be a workable option for closure generics. Not seeing any hands. We then go to line 50, item 273E1, which asks what are the benefits and drawbacks of the above outline option. So it basically asks some of the stakeholders either repeat their argument for either for or against those options. So, but we can use this for to have a consolidated position of each stakeholder. The first response is from the registry stakeholder group. They believe that code of conduct together with the existing pre- and post-delegation objection and dispute mechanism will serve to mitigate any abuse that people opposed to closure generics and are concerned about. ICANN should focus on increasing competition, not decreasing. That was what the registry stakeholder group. The business constituency mentioned that their opposition to option one, which includes generics with no objection mechanism. They agree with option four, but they also mentioned their support of option four. But they, at least in this comment, they don't mention the other two options, so which goes to the notion that all those other two options are some kind of central to the stakeholder groups in this comment, at least in my personal view. The INTA comments made a reference for the comments they made above. They didn't provide any summary of those, but what the comment said is they support allowing PostgreSQL with public interest option, and but basically after all with no requirements. And they didn't support having a code of conduct. They opposed have a code of comments. Code of conduct. The IPC mentioned one new idea, mentioned that it's impossible to fully evaluate these alleged harms without first seeing their effects. So by allowing closure genetics in public interest, a positive outlook can be observed, and then it may be assessed whether or not there are drawbacks. So basically, it's a trial idea where allowing closure genetics would be allowed in a, on a trial basis, and then this go back to policy making. And there is a comment that was attributed to a public interest community that they opposed closure genetics wholesale. So no closure genetics if it's up to them. That was it for 2731. Any questions, comments specifically on 2731? I see that there is an interesting chat conversation that I will let it forward on a parallel path and move to 2732 at line 56 that mentioned that WorkTraction noted that it may be difficult to develop criteria to evaluate whether an application is in the public interest. For options 2 and 3 above, it may be more feasible to evaluate if an application does not serve the public interest. How it could be evaluated if a genetic application does not serve the public interest? Please explain. And we had agreement from Newstar that it's more appropriate to evaluate it that whether the TLD harms the public interest. Have agreement from the registry stakeholder group that the proper test should be that TLD harms public interest. We had an idea from the IPC, although agreeing with this, they mentioned first and foremost, it's necessary to affirm that what is laid out as criteria of not serving the public interest be in line with ICANN's bylaws. So they mentioned making a connection from the ICANN's bylaws to mention what does not serve the public interest. And we had a comment from the public interest community that no closure genetics, period. Any comments from anyone? Not seeing none. Let's go from 2733, which is in line 61. For option 273D4 above, how should the code of conduct for closure genetics serving the public interest be implemented? The work track is that adding this to the existing code of conduct may not make the most sense, since the current code of conduct deals only with issues surrounding affiliated registries and registrars, as opposed to public interest commitments. Or it's more about equal treatment of registrars than of anything else. The work track also believes that this could be a separate specification if closure genetics are seen as separate TLD category. And at this point, some ICANN org employee cries of someone mention a new model of contracts to them. Would it be better to modify the current code of conduct or have a separate code of conduct for closure genetics? Please explain. International Trademark Association support the idea of a separate code of conduct. They mean that if the working group were to recommend adoption of code of conduct, then it makes sense for this to be separate for code of conduct specific to areas to the operation of closure genetics. Just to know that Intel opposed the idea of code of conduct, but if a code of conduct ended up being approved, they mentioned how they would think they, it should be built. You also mentioned that if a code of conduct is implemented, it should be separate to the existing registry operator code of conduct, which is also looking at the registry stakeholder group and IPC. And while we have here in line 66 mentioned that Republicans community said that no closure act for the reasons set out above, they don't seem to be actually answering the question that was asked, that if the option is a code of conduct, should be a separate or no. They just restating their opposition to close the generics, which is their right, but possibly not answering this question. So I would not classify this as a divergence, actually not to this option, but an overall opposition to close the generics. And this is what we have so far. Any comments? Questions? Cry? I believe we are a bit advanced in our session time, which we only have 9 minutes left. I don't know if people think that it's worthwhile to start string similarity at this point or leave it to another section, to another day in our meeting. I think it seems that people think that's a good place to stop. So let's skip item 4 and see if anyone has any other business that they wish to discuss. Let's give people some time to type or to think if they have any other business. We have a question from Ben Aikinskalis. Do we have dates for the last two topics, which I will defer to policy staff?
Hi, Ruben. This is Steve from staff.
Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Thanks. So we actually have more than two topics left. Let me go ahead and check what we have. So obviously we have string similarity as the next topic, but in addition to that, we have IDN, security and stability, applicant reviews, and name collisions as the very last topic. So actually, if you scroll, if you take a look at the Google Doc where all these comments are being reviewed, if you scroll over to the very far left, you can see a draft work plan. And it might need a little bit of revision, but it should be mostly up to date. So you can see how it hopefully lays out for the next few meetings. Thanks. Oh, okay, I see what you're asking. Sure, I can add dates to that. Thanks, Sam.
Oh, now I noticed I was talking to myself with mute. Anne, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, it's Anne. I'm just trying to clarify, you know, what are those dates, because we have two topics that don't have any dates assigned to them, and that's, I was wondering what those dates are. Thanks.
And perhaps I can jump in and help. It's Cheryl here. Obviously, the calendar went out for February, which makes perfect sense, and then there was a natural break at March when they staff would have wanted to not have the ICALs go out over the travel time and the attendance at ICANN 64. So I suspect you, if you want to, the leadership will obviously confirm, you may squeeze one meeting in the first week of March, which is the next natural time to have one anyway. That's the week of the 5th of March. And then it would be a break in the weekly meetings until you get back from COVID, and it's traditional to give you all at least 1 week's breathing space after. So the schedules will go out, but I would be safely assuming that you may as well get at least one of those topics, if not both of those topics, done on the meeting of the 5th of March. Perhaps you might want to consider having a 90-minute meeting to ensure that you do so. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. I think that the scheduling issues have all been commented, and not seeing any other business. There is a question from Catherine. Would it be possible to have those meetings doing ICANN COBE? I don't know. That depends on how much time we have allotted for the full work room meetings, and see if it's good value of face-to-face time to go into that. Perhaps not. Cheryl seems to think the same, but let's not rule it out completely, but not think as it as the most likely option ahead. Seeing no other comments, just thank you all for participating today. Have a good time of day, everyone. And you can also stop the recording. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you, Ruben. And everyone have a good rest of your day. This meeting is adjourned.